I don't have time to reread the whole song of Isaiah 35, but just listen to a few verses before we begin. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who are they waiting for? Where are they? What is going on? You will wonder all of these questions if you go to see or read a play by Samuel Beckett called Waiting for Godot. It's an older play. Maybe this is like a really weird reference. But in Waiting for Godot, you have a play that's kind of all about waiting. It's in the title even. There's two men named Vladimir and Estragon who meet up by a tree in a nondescript place, and they're waiting for someone named Godot. See where the title comes from? All of the play takes place during the waiting, and people show up, and they have conversations, and they talk about things, but you don't really get answers. And so the play's not actually about the conclusion, because Godot never shows up. It's about what's going on while they're waiting. So if we're not careful, I kind of think Advent can take on this kind of vague waiting for Godot element. So we talk in 4 weeks about waiting, preparing, getting ready, preparing our hearts, repenting, casting away the things to get ready. And then it's fair to say, waiting for what? Is the Advent season like that play where you never actually know who shows up? And so Advent is an important time of preparation, but we need to ask ourselves, preparing for what? Because if it's just waiting, it's not enough for me. Now, this is where the astute theologian in the pews among us will say, we're waiting for the return of Christ. Awesome. You get your theology sticker. Yes. That phrase doesn't necessarily evoke a ton of things for me. The return of Christ. Well, what will that be? Well, he'll return. I asked a few people, so what are we waiting for? And someone said, for the completion of all things. Awesome. What is that? For the fullness of all time. For the fulfillment of the plans of God. Great! I love all of those phrases. Can we give it some content? So there's this funny scene in this animated movie called The Incredibles, where there's this little kid on a tricycle who begins to realize that his neighbor is a superhero with super strength. And so he kind of stalks his neighbor on his little tricycle. And at one point, he's just watching his neighbor get into the car. And the neighbor just looks at him and says, what? What are you waiting for? And he says, I don't know. Something amazing. So if we do Advent, and people in the world ask us what we're waiting for, we need a better answer than, I don't know. Something amazing. And Isaiah helps us with that, because Isaiah is like this multifunction prophet who's speaking about three or four things at once. So Isaiah is a prophet for his own season, for his own time. But he's also a prophet knowing that the people of Israel will go into exile. And he prophesies to those future people in exile, the Lord will bring them back to their land. But a lot of Isaiah's prophecies, if you noticed this morning, fit Jesus really well and his earthly ministry. But this is why I think you get a ton of bang for your buck with Isaiah, because he's actually prophesying about the final fulfillment of all things as well. So in this one little chapter, we could do like 90 minutes on all the levels of what Isaiah is doing. But I won't do that, all right? So let's unpack this, right? And it's poetry. So it's not going to give you discrete answers. It's not going to say, well, on January 20th, this is going to happen and this is going to be seen in the clouds. You get this poetic, beautiful language that doesn't so much speak to your mind as to your heart. And in this language, this prophetic imagery of restoration, Isaiah gives us a vision of what it looks like when God breaks in and shows up to his people. And what we see is that when God comes into our life, whether it's in the ministry of Jesus, whether it's right now in our lives, or whether it's at the end, he brings renewal. When God comes to us, he brings hope to a fearful people. Isaiah cries out in this passage, "Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. He will come and save you." So the vocabulary that Isaiah is using is he's actually speaking about a terrified soldier. Or somebody in a city who's terrified because they see an army advancing and they've just gone weak. Their hands are weak with fear. They can't hold a weapon. Their knees are buckling. Fear has gripped their heart. But Isaiah says, take heart because God is on your side. He is coming to deliver you. Isaiah doesn't say, pick yourself up. Put yourself back together. Come on, there's a war going on. Get ready. He says, do you know the one who is fighting for you? And do you know that he is coming to deliver you? The mighty one of Israel is on your side. Time and time again throughout the scriptures, God's people find themselves weak, afraid, and overwhelmed. Powerful empires were always threatening their safety. They always struggled that God was truly on their side, that he would truly be faithful and show up when they needed him most. And that still was the concern and the anxiety of Jesus' day, where the Jewish people were oppressed by Roman authorities, heavily taxed, disenchanted, burned out. And that's what you see. Jesus comes to a people who are longing for good news. They're longing for comfort and hope. And we're not in a better moment where we're suddenly free from worry and anxiety and fear. This is the age of anxiety. We're anxious about life. We're anxious about finances. We're anxious about our careers. We're anxious about how anxious we are. Right? I recently read that Barnes & Noble in 2018, in 1 year alone, reported a 25% increase in purchasing books about anxiety. 25% in 1 year. The pace of life is increasing. The demands on us are pulling us in all directions. And I'm pretty sure most of us feel overwhelmed. But Isaiah says, God is fighting for you. Take courage. Strengthen your heart. Be confident that God is with us and will deliver us from what we're facing. The one, Jesus Christ, who defeated death itself, is with you in your car, at work, in your family, and he is mighty. So what do we do with that, right? You might say like, oh, I suddenly feel all better. No anxiety anymore. I think what it means is we just stop in those moments where we feel overwhelmed. We stop what we would do, how we would respond to it, and we just seek the Lord. We stop and we say, Lord, show me that you are with me. Show me that you are the mighty one who will deliver me through this. Just stop what you're doing and seek the Lord. Because when God breaks into those moments, He will bring hope to those who fear. But when God breaks into moments like that, He also brings healing and restoration. Isaiah speaks of God's deliverance to the people of Israel as if it was bringing miraculous physical healing. In verses 5 and 6, he writes, "Then, when the Lord comes to deliver us, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert." There's two images here of physical healing and of a land, a dry and barren land, being restored into flourishing and fruitfulness. And these are the images God wants us to have when we think about Him breaking into our lives. Now, these words are literally fulfilled in the ministry of Jesus. So in our gospel reading this morning, when John the Baptist is losing confidence and is feeling overwhelmed because he's in prison, and he sends to Jesus and he says, "Are you the one we've been waiting for?" Jesus references these verses and others from Isaiah, and he says, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear." God has come. The kingdom of God has come, and He is beginning to deliver God's people from what they're facing. Now, too often, I think we get stuck viewing Jesus' healings as just like proof that He's God. Like kind of divine feats of strength. And that people were just like, "Well, we need proof that you're God." And He's like, "Well, I guess I can heal people, so I'll do that." It's not neutral. Why is healing the thing He does to reveal that He's the Messiah? It's because the promise of the Scriptures is that when God breaks into our life, He brings healing and restoration. That's what He does. He makes the crooked straight. He opens the eyes of the blind. That's who He is. He restores people. And so we need to know that that wasn't just something Jesus did then, or just something He's doing now, but that the day we look forward to, the day we are waiting for, is a day of healing and restoration. That day will be the total restoration of our life with God. But let's not go there yet. I want to ask you this day, what kind of healing might the Lord desire to bring into your life? If you made space for Him in this Advent moment where we're waiting and preparing, what might He do to rock your world? This is the family moment, right? Like, this is the holidays. There's going to be moments and interactions where old wounds get revealed, where new wounds get made. Or maybe this is that family time that reminds us of our profound loneliness or grief over the ones we do not have or the ones we no longer have. This is the moment where those things start to get dredged up because of the holidays. So if that's true of you, what would it look like to make space in this moment and seek whether God would bring healing to your heart? What would it look like to say, "All right, God, You are the God of restoration, and I know that You will restore all things on the last day, but here's this thing. Can You restore this in this moment?" What would it look like if You made space for that? What might He do? Finally, when God comes to us, He makes a sure path for us to go home to Him. Much of the book of Isaiah contains the promise that God will bring His people home. Now, he's talking most literally about the people of Israel who will be in physical exile and will need to be brought back to the land of Israel. But it takes on so much spiritual significance because the writers of the New Testament see, this is us. We are a people in exile. And we need to be brought home to God. And so Isaiah talks a lot about highways. You may have noticed that. We get very transportational in the Advent season. John the Baptist also talks about highways. That's because God's doing something. He's moving people. He's bringing people back. And so Isaiah writes in verse 8, "And a highway shall there be, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray." So there's a way that the Lord is going to bring that actually brings purity itself, and that holy people will walk on it back to life with God, back to the city of God. And Isaiah continues, and he says, "This will be a safe place. You will be brought back in safety and strength." He says, "No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." There will be a way of holiness that the Lord will prepare to deliver His people from exile and bring them back home. And then there will be complete restoration, where there will be joy and gladness, and sighing and sorrow will be no more. This is the work that Jesus began in His earthly ministry, and this is the work that He will complete when He returns again. The exiled people will be brought back fully into the city of God, and we, the ransomed, will spend life with Him, joy and gladness, and no more tears. It's poetry. It's not going to tell you a calendar of how this is going to happen. That's okay. Just sit with it. Sit with those images. Advent is a time where we long for the homecoming that our hearts long for. And the way of the gospel, the way of following Jesus Christ, is that road of holiness, that way to go back to God. And there will be a day where all of God's people are brought home, and we triumphantly will praise Him with joy and gladness. That's what we're waiting for. That's what we're longing for. That's what Advent is about, is yearning and deeply desiring for that homecoming. But it's also something we can begin to experience here. And so if all of this is like really bizarre, the sense of being home with the Lord, make space in this moment and ask Him to give you a glimpse of that. Ask for Him to give you just a glimpse of what it's like to rest in Him. Just a glimmer of the joy that we will have unending. That's what this time is about. That's what we're getting ready for. That's wonderful. So this Advent, let's not make it like we don't know the one who's coming. Like suddenly He'll be a different person. He's the one who came to save us, who loves us, and who longs for us to go home and be with Him. He's the one who brings freedom from fear, who brings hope, who brings healing and restoration. That's the one we are longing for. And so this is a moment where we can make space and live that out. Now, I know that it seems insane for me to ask you to try and make space in this moment. I can't even find a parking space, much less spiritual space in this moment. But that's what we are asked to do in the Advent season, to make space to seek God and to see what He wants to bring into our lives right now. Amen.